Mrs. Elliot Cheatham replies to Mrs. Lamar's article stating reasons for anti-suffrage league. The Atlanta Constitution, Sunday 28th of June, 1914, page 49, column 1. In last Sunday's Constitution, there appeared an article by Mrs. Walter Douglas Lamar of Macon, Georgia, a member of the Anti-Suffrage Association of Macon, in which she sets for the purposes and objects of that organization and expresses her opinion thereon. Today, Mrs. Elliot Cheatham of Atlanta, a member of the Equal Suffrage Party of Georgia, replies to Mrs. Lamar's article of last Sunday, taking very opposite views. An answer to Mrs. Lamar's reasons by Mrs. Elliot Cheatham, Mrs. Walter B. Lamar of Macon, a distinguished member of the Anti-Suffrage League, of Macon, has set forth the reasons for the formation of the Georgia Association opposed to equal suffrage. As a representative of the Equal Suffrage Party, I shall not here attempt to state my reasons for believing in women's suffrage, but only to answer Mrs. Lamar's reasons for opposing it. Mrs. Lamar says that women have not helped in the great civic and moral problems of the day. Can such be the case when the most advanced social and humanitarian legislation in the United States has been enacted in suffrage states? The laws which the women of California put through the first legislature after they were enfranchised cannot be equaled by the laws of any non-suffrage state in the Union. The International Parliamentary Union, a worldwide organization of expert sociologists, has declared that Colorado, a suffrage state, has the sanest, most humane, most scientific laws protecting the home and the child to be found on any statute books in the world. A question answered. 2. Mrs. Lamar says that in suffrage states, there has been a notable loss to prohibition forces. There is not a suffrage state in which the dry territory has not increased since women voted. If women's suffrage did not help prohibition, why should the Prohibition Party, year after year, place in their platform a suffrage plank? Furthermore, the liquor interests always fight women's suffrage and are the heaviest contributors to the anti-suffrage cause. 3. Mrs. Lamar says in the suffrage states, there is a lamentable indifference to the use of the vote. In the suffrage states, from 70 to 90% of the women vote, whereas in non-suffrage states, only from 60 to 65% of the qualified men vote. Since the women's vote is from 10 to 30% larger than the men's vote in non-suffrage states, indifference to voting is rather a reason for disfranchising men than for opposing the enfranchisement of women, the venal side of woman. 4. Mrs. Lamar says in suffrage states, the venal side of woman hitherto discovered has appeared. Why is it then that the most respectable citizens of suffrage states, ministers of the gospel, social workers, senators, and governors all testify on the side of women's suffrage? Since Colorado gave women the vote in 1893, not six persons of standing have been induced to assert over their own signatures that women's suffrage has brought about one single evil. V. Mrs. Lamar cites the splendid work of the Federation of Women's Clubs as an argument against giving these and other women the vote. Club women in Georgia have lobbied for years to get better laws, and yet today, Georgia's child labor laws are among the poorest in the United States. Today, Georgia leads the Union in illiteracy. The laws of Georgia allow women to work any number of hours a day, and Georgia's law of age of consent is the lowest in the United States. With such laws on the statute books of Georgia, I should be ashamed to think that we club women of Georgia have any influence whatever about laws. 6. Mrs. Lamar says, in Oregon and California, the 8-hour law for women workers was passed before women voted. What of it? In California, the same legislature that enacted the 8-hour law for women also gave women the right to vote. In Oregon, the laws relating to women's labor have been greatly improved since women voted. Moreover, two suffrage states, Colorado and Washington, were unable to enact the 8-hour law for women until women had the vote. And two, Idaho and Utah, could not enact a 9-hour law for women until women voted. 7. Since Mrs. Lamar has brought up this issue of indirect influence against direct, let me cite an instance of it. It took Massachusetts women 55 years to get past a law, making mothers equal guardians with fathers over their children. It took Colorado women 1 year to pass this law. Colorado women had the vote. Massachusetts women did not. This is direct influence against indirect, 50-1. Fate. Mrs. Lamar says, the Michigan Equal Suffrage Association issued the following disclaimer. Our association has no connection with the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. The Equal Suffrage Party exists for the one purpose of securing votes for women. The Prohibition Party has for its immediate purpose the enactment of prohibition laws. Because these two parties refuse to merge with each other and to confuse their issues is no discredit to either. What experience proves? Experience in the suffrage states shows that the majority of woman suffragists are prohibitionists, but many suffragists believe in local option, and a few are opposed to prohibition. The same is true of any political party in the United States. Is it any discredit to the Democratic Party of Georgia that all Democrats are not prohibitionists? Is it any discredit to the Democratic Party of Georgia that it disclaims any connection with the Woman's Christian Temperance Union? Nay. Mrs. Lamar says, the character and life work of leading anti-suffragists refute Dr. Anna Shaw's charge that anti-suffragists are protectors of liquor interests, food dopers, child labor exploiters, white slavers, and political bosses. Though the antis may not realize what bad company they are keeping, Dr. Shaw's charge is true. As Senator Clapp not long ago told an audience, there is not a liquor dealer nor a political boss from Maine to California who is not opposed to women's suffrage. Prospective voters. X. Mrs. Lamar says many prospective women voters might be perjurers, as some women were found to be in the Frank trial. In the Frank trial, as large a percentage of the men witnesses perjured themselves as of the women witnesses. Perjury is not a sex trait. The state does not disfranchise all men because some are perjurers. Neither should it refuse to enfranchise all women because some women are perjurers. Ixines. Mrs. Lamar says if women get the vote, Negro women may be enfranchised. White men vote, Negro men do not. Precisely the same provisions which disenfranchise Negro men would disenfranchise Negro women. Mrs. Lamar says the Bristow-Mandel Amendment, pushed by women, would force equal suffrage at the cost of states' rights. Of course, one of the foundation principles of our government is states' rights. A women's suffrage amendment would increase the powers of Congress only by allowing it to say that there should be no discrimination on account of sex. The states would have as much right as they have now to put any qualification whatever, except sex, on the franchise. Two things. Mrs. Lamar says the increased expenses of elections would further delay and perhaps lessen the pay of our school teachers. We suffragists are convinced that the school teachers of Georgia and the mothers whose children are taught would see to it that the increased expenses of elections were not taken out of the teachers' pay. It would not be rash to make a contrary prediction that when the school teachers of Georgia vote, the legislature of Georgia will see fit to pay them more and to pay it promptly. Monticello, Georgia. Little Miss Elizabeth Jordan celebrated her 9th birthday at a pretty party Friday afternoon at the home of her parents, Mr. and Mrs. A.H. Jordan. In the contest of the afternoon, Mr. Charles Henderson was the fortunate winner of a box of candy. Various games were enjoyed by the little ones, after which ice cream and cake were served. Miss Irma Florence entertained the members of her Sunday school class and a number of friends at a very delightful party Friday afternoon. Mrs. Annie Florence and Dorothy Penn, attired in Japanese costumes, served punch as the guests arrived, and Mrs. Martha Penn Lila Malone assisted the hostess in serving dainty refreshments during the afternoon. Miss Joyce Henderson entertained 12 of her girlfriends Tuesday morning at a lovely bridge luncheon, the occasion being in honor of Mrs. David Ireland of Fort Myers, FLA, Miss Henderson, assisted by Mrs. Henderson, served a luncheon in several courses. The prize was won by Mrs. Ireland. In compliment to her daughter, Mrs. David Ireland, of Fort Myers, FLA, Mrs. James J. Pope was hostages at a lovely 42 party Wednesday afternoon at her attractive home on Eatonton Road. Delicious fruit punch was served by Mrs. Ireland, and following the game, of which there were 5 tables, an elegant salad course was enjoyed. Mrs. Pope was assisted by Mrs. Percy Pope, Miss Mamie Pope, and Mrs. Tanio Benton. Miss Jenny Lou Lindsay of Atlanta, who has been the admired guest of Mr. and Mrs. John D. Persons, was the honoree at a beautiful dance given Thursday night by the young men of town. A local orchestra furnished delightful music for the occasion. Tifton, Georgia, Miss Bessie Murrow and her house guests, Mrs. Marie and Sarah Colcord, and Messrs. Alton Colcord and Joseph Williams, were given an agreeable surprise by some of their young friends Saturday night, who gathered in a party and stormed the Murrow home. Mr. Henry Tift entertained the young society set with a delightful dance at Murrow Springs Friday night, the party going out in cars and returning at a late hour. Circle number 5 of the Missionary Society of the Methodist Church met at the home of Mrs. H. Kent Monday afternoon. The hostess served cream and cake. Miss Nelta Murray entertained with 6 tables of setback at her home Wednesday night in honor of Mr. Bernard Boatwright of Cordeal. A refreshing ice course was served. Mrs. Lula May and Estelle Morgan entertained 5 of their young lady friends with a spend-the-day party at their home Friday, Thomasville, Georgia. An interesting event of next week will be the marriage of Miss Marion Spence and Mr. Robert Rainey, both of this city, which will take place on Tuesday evening, the 30th, at the Methodist Church. Both Miss Spence and Mr. Rainey are well known and popular here, and a large number of invitations have been issued to the marriage. Miss Susie Brandon was the hostess yesterday afternoon at a shower given in compliment to Miss Marion Spence, a bride of next week. The members of the Thomasville Campfire are arranging to entertain one evening next week with a lawn fete to be given in Paradise Park. There will be a number of folk dances and other interesting features in connection with the entertainment. Miss Margaret McKay was one of the attendants at the Ford Williams marriage, which took place in Atlanta on Wednesday evening. From Atlanta, Miss McKay will go for a short visit to friends in Greenville, SC, and from there to Black Rock, NC. Miss Norma Hines and Miss Ruth Williams, who have been the guests of Miss Isabel Garrard in Columbus, have been the recipient of many delightful attentions during their stay in that city, and were also members of a very enjoyable camping party. Miss Mary Hargrave is spending some weeks in Knoxville, 10. Miss May Ainsworth left this week for a visit to Atlanta. Mrs. C.A. McIntyre left this week for Saluda, N.C., where she will spend the remainder of the summer. Brunswick, Georgia. Miss Rosa Lohman and Rev. W.A. Cron, both of Portsmouth, Va., were married on Wednesday morning at the home of Rev. C. E. Weltner of the Lutheran Church. Mr. Weltner was assisted in the marriage service by Rev. W.H. Chapman of the Presbyterian Church. After the ceremony, Mr. and Mrs. Cron left via Columbia for Portsmouth, where they will reside. Mr. and Mrs. I.H. Kirkland are entertaining a delightful house party at Island View Cottage on St. Simon's. Those in the party are Mrs. Kate and Maud McDowell of Brinson, Georgia, Bessie Sutton of Ridgeville, Georgia, and Messrs. I.D. Patterson, M. Minkoff, L.R. Hodges, and R.R. Griffin of Brinson. Mrs. William G. Brantley and Small Sons of Washington, D.C., are guests of Mr. and Mrs. James T. Colson at their cottage on St. Simon's Island, Miss Josephine Rainwater of the State Educational Department, Miss Louise Love of the State Historians Department, and Miss Ida Henderson of the Prison Commission, with a party of friends, are having a delightful stay on St. Simon's Island. Mrs. Clarence M. Petticord was a charming hostess for the Neighborhood Club on Wednesday afternoon at her home on Prince Street. 2 tables of bridge were played, only the members being present. After the game, a delicious ice course was served. Barnesville, Georgia. Many friends in Barnesville are much interested in the marriage of Miss Evelyn Riley of Gadsden, Alla, and Mr. B.H. Butts of this city. The marriage was a quiet one, witnessed only by the relatives and a few friends of the young people. Mr. and Mrs. Butts arrived in Barnesville Wednesday evening for a visit with Mr. and Mrs. B.H. Butts at their home on Forsyth Street. After spending several days here, they will return to their home in Alabama. Friday afternoon, the Daughters of the Confederacy met at the clubhouse and enjoyed an excellent program arranged by Mrs. Cotter, Mrs. Redding, and Mrs. Collier. the newly appointed program committee. At the conclusion of the business session, a delightful lunch was served by Mrs. Edward Elder and Mrs. John F. Redding, who were hostesses at the meeting. Miss Rosalind Le Sneur celebrated her 14th birthday on Wednesday evening by entertaining 25 of her young friends at an al fresco party, Sparta, Georgia. Miss Norma Watson of Thompson and Miss Elizabeth Wooten and Miss Mamie Claire Chapman of Washington are the guests of Miss Sadie Rhodes. On Tuesday evening, Miss Rhodes entertained about 60 members of the younger set in their honor. Miss Elios Rozier was hostess to a pretty party Wednesday morning complimentary to Mrs. Watson, Chapman, and Wooten. Wednesday afternoon, they were entertained by Miss Camille Berry. Many affairs are being planned in their honor, among which will be parties given by Miss Julia Burnett, Miss Elizabeth Walker, and others. The Civic League held an important meeting Monday afternoon. Mrs. John Holmes entertained the Matrons Club charmingly on Friday afternoon with a porch party. Punch was served by Miss Mildred Lewis. Progressive Trail was played, and the prize was won by Mrs. Wellborn Moore, and the consolation by Mrs. George Berry, Bainbridge, Georgia. One of the prettiest events of the week was the reception given Tuesday afternoon by Mrs. Charles Parker and Mrs. K.A. McCaskill for Mrs. W.H. Wilson, Mrs. Mary Wilson, and Hetty Ray Tillett of Nashville, and Mrs. B.D. Fudge. 50 guests were present. Mrs. E.J. Perry entertained with two tables of bridge Tuesday morning. Miss Lillian Sturdivant of Atlanta won the prize for the top score. Miss Alice Powell was hostess for the junior aide Wednesday afternoon. Mrs. H.M. Graham entertained delightfully Wednesday night with a picnic at Rose Ferry. 20 guests were present. A pleasant occasion of Thursday was the fish dinner given at Spring Creek by Mrs. Charles Parker. There were 50 guests present. For her guests, Mrs. W.H. Dyer of Valdosta and Mrs. A.M. Ball of Thomasville, Mrs. Charles H. Caldwell entertained Thursday afternoon at Lingerlong with a bridge party. A delightful event of Tuesday afternoon was the bridge party given by Mrs. George H. Fields in compliment to Mrs. Charles H. Caldwell. Mrs. A.M. Ball of Thomasville won the prize for top score, and Mrs. Caldwell was presented with a guest of honor gift, Talbotton, Georgia. Mr. and Mrs. E.R. Matthews entertained at dinner on Wednesday Mrs. Ella Leonard, Mrs. Lillian Brown, Mrs. P.M. Weston, and Miss Mary Matthews of Thomaston. Mr. and Mrs. P.M. Weston's guests at tea Sunday evening were Mr. and Mrs. R.M.R. Bardwell of Atlanta. Mrs. E.L. Bardwell entertained for little Miss Mary Bardwell on Wednesday. Mr. and Mrs. George Graham entertained last Monday evening. Miss Mary Graham recited several pieces. Miss Juliet Wilkerson delighted the guests with her exquisite voice. Cake and cream were served. The Baptist Missionary Society met in Talbotton Friday and Saturday.